It's my privilege to introduce Amy Redding, and she will share for a few minutes, and then she's going to introduce our main speaker this morning. First of all, Amy Redding is quite a lady. She is a great leader. She is very impactful. She's an amazing influencer. Everywhere she goes, she impacts people. She's kind of non-stoppable in so many ways. And there are many of you as students here who have met her, and you've known her just a short time, and you like her. And so that is fantastic. Amy and her husband spent the first 18 years of their work life in Quito, Ecuador, serving in teaching. And then they moved back to the United States, and Amy worked as a professor at Toccoa Falls and then at Crown College, our sister schools. And then she was hired, I believe, about 10 years ago by the Christian Missionary Alliance. She is over our department, Candidate Recruitment and Development, and we actually go into colleges and we mentor students. We help them dream about their future, and we look for the ones that God is calling out perhaps into full-time service. Is she around? And so she is a great friend, and she is a great speaker, and she's my boss. I'd like you to welcome her right now.
Thank you. Can anybody be Dale's boss? I don't think so. I don't know. Hey, first of all, I want to say a big thank you. You guys are always welcoming when we come, from the professors to the students in the class asking us questions. So thank you. I'm not just saying that. Like, we sense your welcome and your hospitality. So thank you very much for that. I really love this thing that you're leaning into of finding our identity and our calling in Christ that you guys have been talking about this semester. I'm kind of passionate about that. So it's kind of fun to be able to have a few minutes to talk about it. One thing that we put on every seat is this: who we are in Christ. And our president, John, brought 500 of these in his suitcase just for you, just so you could have them. And then we passed him out today. But wow, this is so invaluable, like just this flyer. I was thinking, what if you spent all summer looking at this? All summer, just going through this and journaling who we are in Christ and what we have in him. So that is our gift for you today. And my little section that I want to talk about is a slide that I have. This is something in my role that I'm really passionate about, is trying to figure out, you know, what is our calling and what do we exactly mean by that in the church when we talk about calling? And this bottom one, I think that in the church and maybe in the Alliance, we're really good at, like, helping people that have a direct call to find that. If they're going to be a pastor or a youth pastor or a missionary, some of the direct calling people we know from Scripture, who are some of them? Call them out. Who had a direct call from God? Okay. Yep, I'm hearing them. Jonah, Gideon, Paul. How about some women? Esther. There's another one that said, "Yes, Lord, be it unto me." Who was it? Mary. Man, she had a very direct call. So I think that's maybe one that we understand a little better. But here's the one, the middle one. I was in a Alliance Young Adults event with 50 young professionals sitting there in front of me. And I asked them, how many of you have a direct call, sense a really a direct call in your life? And of those 50, only like 4 of them raised their hand. And I really felt in my spirit, like, have we been overlooking the other people in the room by not really encouraging them in the particular call that God has on their life? And I want to speak that over you today. So many of you have this passion or this calling really into a field, and we bless that. We want you to bring God's light and Jesus's message into that place. I received, I got these kind of breakdowns of calling from a lady called Sharon Vonda Walker, and she wrote a book called Working in the Presence of God. And it's really this whole kind of new thing for me, the theology of work. starting to really understand that. So I want to really encourage you as you're here to really start sensing what is a particular calling and be okay with that and celebrate it. There were two young men from Crown College, the quarterback and the running back. We, Dale and I, just took to Exponential in Orlando. And I really sensed these young men had a particular calling, mostly because of football. And this is what happened to them. They started leading a Bible study for the football players. It's probably some of the only time any of them really come around God's word. And this is their goal for next year. Every man for Christ in fall ball. And that is our goal. That is our particular calling because they're football players and they're in that space. So I pray that over you. I just met Kate back here. She's studying kinesiology, but she's also in spiritual formation and leading a Bible study on campus. There it is. Man, she could be a church planner, do kinesiology by day and church planning by night. Right? I bless that. That's a particular calling. And then the very last one I want you to look at is general calling. And this is one I feel like maybe many of us haven't received. Every one of us had this general calling. And look what it says. To receive God's love, to be a faithful disciple, and to love our neighbors. That's it. Every single one of us that know the Lord, this is a calling that God has covered us with. I'm going to end with this story. A couple years ago, I was here when Dr. Thompson was here in chapel. He's my hero. He was a missionary doctor in Africa for over 30 years. And guys, he came to California and he didn't say, oh, I did my time. He lived into this general calling. He had people in his neighborhood, his neighbors who were going to get kicked out of their community, and he started ministering to his neighbors. And now God is blessed. I really think when you live out of your general calling and your particular, that's when some of that direct calling will come. And the last thing I want to say is look at where it says to receive God's love. That's another part of a general call. And I pray as you're here at Simpson that you will do that, that you will really lean in to receiving the love that God has for you. So here's my introduction of Josh Sadlon, who you heard up here in the white sneakers and with the guitar. Josh Sadlon is a CNMA worship pastor and music producer who is passionate about telling people about Jesus. Particular call, maybe a direct call. He currently serves as a producer for Alliance Youth Life Conference and director for Alliance Worship at the National Office. He is the founder of Heart Room Worship. Josh lives in Kentucky on a small farm with his wife Emily and son Gideon. Welcome, Josh.
Well, hey, everyone. It's an honor to be here with you today. As Amy said, I live in Kentucky. Has anyone here ever been to Kentucky? A few folks. Awesome. It's wonderful. We have a lot of fried chicken. We have a lot of horses, other things as well. And I hope if you ever come by Kentucky, come say, hey, y'all. It's great. It's wonderful. It's the life we live. Well, I live on a small horse farm with my wife and my son, Gideon. I believe I have a photo just for the oohs and ahs. They're wonderful. I love them. They're my favorite people in the world. Well, I am so excited to get to talk to you a little bit on your theme of identity and calling and just how the Lord has used my calling in my life and shown me and reaffirmed my calling time and time again. Also, the cousin of calling is identity in my mind. They're so closely related. And for me, I've struggled so much in my identity. As a matter of fact, I would say we have an identity crisis. And I'm sure that's why you're talking about this. I know so many friends of mine, myself in different seasons, we've had these identity crises. And the reason why I think we have this identity crisis is because in a world where we can be anything, it's hard to know who we are, right? Because you can't know who you are if you don't know where you belong. And you cannot know where you belong unless you know the one who made you. Today, I'm going to be bouncing around in a couple different scripture areas and moving pretty quickly through things. So if you don't catch anything, luckily you have that pamphlet and you can just read that over. And that is the scripture is going to say so much to you and speak so much to you. But today I'm going to be speaking out of Genesis 1 and Romans 8 and just this idea of that we are made in the image of God and how that relates to Romans 8 when we see like the when we see that all things are used for good and the reflection and the redemption of the earth itself. So if you open your Bibles, Genesis 1 and Romans 8, so I'm taking a lot of reference out of today. So apart from God, for me in my life, what I've seen was when I'm apart from God or separate, or I move myself away from God, I establish my identity when I tell me a story about me, about me. It's like it's when you tell a story about you to yourself. And your calling is, again, related to that, just a cousin, in my opinion, of identity, where your calling is telling you a story about where you are going. Humans love story. I love story. I'm a songwriter and a producer of events. And a lot of times that's like creating a story of an event or creating a story of a film or creating a story in a song. I mean, we all love action and comedies and romances and we all have like that crazy cousin or that crazy aunt that like every time you see them, they have like the wildest story that you've ever heard. Because story is so important to our life. I mean, how many, just raise a hand, has anyone caught up on Severance? Anyone caught up on the TV show Severance within the season 3? It's a crazy story. You got to watch it. But people love story. We love story. And I think story just transcends time and it transcends languages. And the Lord knew this when he knit us together because he uses so, I mean, the Bible is just a story of God's love. The Bible is a timeless, powerful, relevant, living story. And through translation, through years, through time, these stories relate to us. A lot of story writers, we use this idea of micro stories and macro stories, micro narratives, macro narratives. And a micro story would be like a scene, and a macro story would be like, what's the big picture of a film? But the way I relate this in my life to my identity is I kind of think of micro stories as like achievements and details, the preferences that I have, the failures in my life, the times when I've done things well and done things horribly, the sin patterns in my life that I've walked through, the gifts that God has given me. They're all just these little details of a macro story that God is creating. Sometimes it's so difficult for us to see the macro narrative of our life because we can't see it all at one time, especially for us on the younger side of things, on the first half of our lives. We don't get to see the full picture of what God is writing in the macro narrative of our life. Also, I think the other hard part about the big picture of what God's doing in our life, and I don't know if any of you relate to this, but when you read the word and you hear like that you are fearfully, wonderfully made and that God has great plans for you, because it's so hard for me in my naiveness and my youth to understand the vastness and the greatness and the beauty of God and how big he is, I've never experienced a God and a love that could love every single person. And so our Father, he promises that in Scripture. He promises these, he has these beautiful promises of that we are God's masterpiece in Ephesians 2:10, all these beautiful things he says about us. But at some point, it can kind of feel like when we zoom back from the big picture of, when we zoom to the big picture of life, that we can get lost in the, well, if everyone's unique and God loves everyone, then how does he love me? And that's where we get to experience the calling in our life with him, where we get to learn from the Holy Spirit and learn from Scripture of God how he made us unique and how he made us just this masterpiece. Because the problem of telling a story to you about you from you is that it's a lot of you. Like it's when I am telling a story about me, like it's a lot because I am a lot. If you ask my wife, I'm just a lot. And I have been living with me my entire life. I know that I can be a lot. So on my arm, I have a tattoo of a buffalo. And I don't know if any of you love buffalo, but for me, it's the cross between a bear and a cow. And I bet you've never thought of that until this moment, but I love buffalo. And I have a scripture on my arm that's Joshua 1:9. Be strong and courageous, for the Lord our God is with you wherever you go. For me, in my naiveness in my youth, I would often I love this scripture, but I took it out of context, which is very dangerous. I wasn't getting the full perspective of what God was doing in that moment in the book of Joshua. And the way I kind of interpreted it on my own understanding was okay, well, wherever I go, whatever I choose, whatever path I say is my calling, whatever identity I identify with, well, God's just going to be there with me. I'm just going to bring him along. And what I found is I was making decisions in my life and just going, yeah, this is a good decision. It's not a bad decision. So God's probably going to, like, I can just bring God along with me in this process. And really what I was doing is not even bringing God along. I was just leaving him out of the process. And we see in Genesis 1, he wants to be in relationship with us. The plan was for him to be with us. He wants to be with us. I remember telling a friend about late high school, early college. I said, you know what? I don't really think I have a testimony because I just don't really think God's really done much in my life. And that was completely wrong. I want to share with you a little bit of my story here in a moment. But in that moment of life, I wouldn't zoom out enough to see the macro story. I was so focused on the micro stories of what God was writing in the day-to-day and missing the big picture. I went to a Christian university. Honestly, at that time, I smoked about a pack of cigarettes a day. I was a music business major and Christian ministries major. I knew more office quotes than, like, from the show The Office than I did scripture. Like, it was a really weird time in my life thinking about it on it. And I was really trying to figure out if Christianity was cool or if I really wanted to continue this Christianity thing. And for me, it was so interesting because it's like, I chose to go to a Christian university. I got the opportunity and blessed to go to a Christian university. But like I was still like dipping my toe in all the time and what it truly meant to surrender everything to the Lord. It's a little bit like going to culinary school and like being like, but I don't really like food. Like I don't really know if I want to eat. And so for me in that season of life, like John 10:10 says, you know, the enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And for me, like when I look at that scripture in that season of my life, I probably would have said, well, the enemy hasn't killed me and he hasn't destroyed me. Because that's usually what we think of. We're going like, well, I'm not dead. Okay, that's good. But what happened in that season of life when I still didn't quite step into the calling that the Lord has for me, where I could kind of see the calling, but I wasn't fully invested in what the Lord had for me. What the enemy did is he didn't have to kill me. He didn't have to destroy me as long as he could steal what was best, what was God's plan. And that's all he had to do. He had me focus on these micro narratives of my life, these singularities, these single points, these points of trauma, these points of achievement that were defining my whole identity and really just wanted me to have nothing to do with God in that moment. Like he had no reason to kill me if he could just distract me from the Father. The enemy was stealing the better plan for my life. Steal is first. Steal, kill, and destroy. Is my Southern accent coming out with that? Steal, kill, and destroy. The enemy was stealing the best plan for my life. Right now, every one of us in the room probably has a best plan in your mind right now for your life. Like you have what you would consider to be the best plan. But I'm telling you today that God actually has a better plan, more than you can imagine, that when you lean into Jesus and when you invite him into your plans and to pursue him, he has actually a better plan than the best good plan that you can imagine right now. When we let our micro stories of our life define our identity, for me at least, I have a multitude of insecurities and anxieties that come forward when I define myself by these singular moments and these singular details of my life and not the big picture. Because when you don't know who you are, you operate out of insecurity. I call this the enemy eating my lunch. I'm like, man, today just the enemy is eating my lunch. My insecurities often lead to a self-deprecation or a comparison or a shame or the opposite side of insecurity, like a pride, like almost a narcissistic level of gaslighting people of pride. And it's just an inverse of insecurity. Both sides are just of showcasing my insecurities. Today, if you're stuck in some insecurities of comparison, because I know that's really prevalent. My sister's in college right now, and that's a big thing in her life that we talk about a lot. especially with her calling and identity. The best advice I was given when you're stuck in insecurities for comparison is that in your 20s, you're worried about what everyone thinks. In your 30s, you decide not to care about what everyone thinks. And then in your 40s, you realize that no one was ever thinking about you in the first place. So if you can just fast forward to that maturity of 40s right now and realize, hey, guess what? Everybody else is insecure and they're thinking about their own insecurities right now. And so actually, I can focus on Jesus. I don't need to live in an insecurity of comparison. When we promote these micro stories and insecurities to define our identity and calling, we miss out on the big picture. We just miss out on it. So one of the things we can do is just focusing in and asking the Holy Spirit, what areas of our life are we still holding on to? You know, we get to sacrifice these areas of our life. And sacrifice is beautiful because, this is a little side tangent, sacrifice is beautiful because we only get to sacrifice on this side of heaven. Like when we're one with the Father, we don't even get the opportunity to really sacrifice anymore. On this side of heaven, we get this beautiful opportunity to give parts of ourselves, to be crucified with Christ. Surrender looks like allowing scripture and godly mentors and the Holy Spirit to define your identity and calling you into a deeper life with Christ. And then your insecurities turn into this balance of a healthy confidence and humility in your life, that you can trade your best plan for God's better plan. The nature of humanity, as we see in Genesis 1, is to cover ourselves. Like when Adam and Eve in the garden and they're hiding from the Father, they choose to cover themselves. They think it's on themselves to fix themselves. And that's when we get to that identity point of that you are telling a story about you, that we think that we have to fix ourselves. And God wants to be with you in all of it. He wants to rewrite your identity and confirm your purpose and your calling. Your identity and calling become God telling you a story about you. God telling you the story that he wants to write about you. A little bit more of my story now that I've ranted about what God's taught me in identity and calling. The biggest impact on my life, when I told you I said I didn't have a testimony, right? After I'd said that, this is what the Lord has rewritten in my life. The biggest impact in my life was when I was a child. My father had stage 4 Hodgkin's disease, which is a very aggressive cancer. And he was on his deathbed multiple times. And if you've gone through that in your life, it's the worst thing ever to say goodbye to your father. And I did this twice in my life. That they said, hey, he's not going to live another day. The second time we prayed and our church came out and they prayed for him and it felt hopeless. And in 48 hours, my father was cancer free. That's not everyone's story, and I know that. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. My father brought me to church every single Sunday after that moment. But for me, in my teenage years and my college years, I would have said, I don't have a testimony. Because I forgot the macro story of what God had been writing from the beginning. That healing set up the entire rest of the trajectory of my life. I was born with some health issues, and I remember with my heart and my ears, and I had open heart surgery, and I had some ear surgery to get my hearing back. And I remember walking out of the hospital when I was about 8 years old, and I could hear a lawnmower in the distance. And it's the first time I had ever heard something that I couldn't see at the same time. That's how bad my hearing was. And I was amazed, and I became obsessed with sound, and I became obsessed with music. God was redeeming these areas in my life and writing these passions and callings into me from a young child. I remember soon after that, I surrendered my heart to Jesus, and my pastor had talked through like, hey, how to surrender your heart to Jesus and give your heart to him and how you need to pray and what you need to believe in. And I said all the things at church, and then I like wasn't quite sure. So I remember going home into our family bathroom and closing the door, shutting the toilet lid and just kneeling on the toilet and praying to God and surrendering my heart to Jesus. Fast forward a couple of years, I had no money to go to college because my parents, any money my parents had saved, they lost in the stock market crash of 2008. So I enlisted in the Air National Guard and I went to basic training before the summer of my senior year because that was my best plan. And then in my senior year, I got a call from this Christian, from this organization that allowed me to have a full ride scholarship. And I was able to go into ministry, which is what I felt called to, but I didn't have a pathway. Like God made a pathway for that to happen. So I was able to go into music business and Christian ministries at Anderson University in Indiana. I graduated from college and I moved overseas and I worked for Hillsong Church in London in their worship and ministries department, where I got to witness thousands of people giving their lives to Jesus. A very long story. I didn't want to come back to America, but the Lord led me to this Alliance Church in Kentucky. And I remember being in North Carolina doing like job interviews at different churches to try to figure out where I needed to go. And the Lord, like, again, I actually, this is 10 years afterwards, I closed the toilet in a bathroom and nailed at the toilet in the bathroom and prayed. And the Lord gave me this vision of going to this church in Kentucky. I'm not advocating for praying in the bathroom. You don't have to do that. But for me, for some reason, it works. So I went to Kentucky and the church I worked at there for about a decade, it blew up multiple times due to moral failure and financial misuse. And even the church that I worked at overseas, Hillsong, many of you may know, kind of blew up in some ways with moral failure. And right before I stepped out of the church ministry, my wife and I lost our first baby late in pregnancy. And there was this moment in my life about 2 years ago where I had every opportunity to walk away from the faith. I had every good reason. I had every reason in the books to walk away. I had every reason to walk away from the Alliance. I had all the excuses in the world. I was wrecked. I had lost my church. I had lost my friends. I had lost our baby. It shattered my identity and it made me question my calling. I didn't share this earlier, but from a young age, I felt called to love people and share about Jesus through my gifts of arts and music. And I just didn't know if that was true anymore. I can't exactly tell you why, but in those very tender moments a few years ago, my wife and I leaned into Jesus because honestly, that's the only thing we knew what to do in that moment. I remember us just like sitting on our kitchen floor, crying and singing Firm Foundations, singing rain came, wind blew, but my house was built on you. I took a break from full-time ministry to focus on my relationship with Jesus, to focus on ordination with the Alliance, which is amazing if you're pursuing that. I highly encourage that process. It's a fantastic process to be accredited and licensed and ordained with the Alliance. I pursued that time and the moment, and God kept redeeming me and showing me who he made me to be. One of the lies that I was telling myself about my time in ministry and my calling was that I had just wasted my time. And the past 2 years before I came back on staff with the Alliance, I had a lot of very unique jobs. A lot of strange things happened. We can talk about it at lunch. I'd love to tell you about it. But one of those is I got a call from Facebook to work on a special project that they needed a project manager for. And the lie that I was trying to work through was all this time in my life had been wasted. And I got the opportunity to redesign this logo. We're going to put this up. So this is the old logo from Facebook, and this is the new Facebook logo. And when you think about time wasted, and you look at these two logos that I worked on, I spent about $2 million to do that from project managing it. We went through multiple iterations. We spent a lot of people's time. And I got to the end of that process, and I looked at that, and I thought, never again will I think that any moment in ministry will ever be wasted. Because that's a cool project. Like, that's on everyone's phone in the world, practically. But it had no substance. It had no real meaning in life. It wasn't something that I felt called to. There's a lot of good opportunities you're going to find in your life. But there's a couple great, better plans that God has for you. So my encouragement for you today is, as I kind of wrap up here, is that I'm here today to just remind you of the Romans 8. For those who love God, all things work together for good. For those who are called according to his purpose. That every micro story of your life, God can use for good. I love being a part of the Alliance because there's real no other agenda other than sharing all of Jesus with all of the world. You know, in our denomination, we have about 2,000 churches in the U.S. And for over 150 years, the Alliance has been doing this work. And for me, as someone who's experienced a lot of moral failure and issues in churches and with my leaders, having that time of 150 years to see what God has done over time is very important to me personally. And that may be important to you, that you want to be a part of something that stood the test of time. I have friends in the Alliance who are doctors and nurses and business people and athletes and creatives and artists and pastors, and they all use their experiences and gifts to share the story of the gospel all around the world. I'm 33 years old, and I'm just like a decade ahead of you in this crazy thing we call life. And I've shared with you this story because I feel so lucky today to get to talk to you and really just ask any of you today who have a similar calling in your life that you want to share with the world your love for Jesus and all that he has done in your life, that you want to share your story with people, that you want to share the gospel with people around the world. Like, let me tell you, there is a need and there's a place for you on the team. I would love to be your teammate for the next 30 years. Like, this is what God has called me to. And I would love to get to know you and do ministry together over a lifetime if that's what the Lord has called you to in the Alliance. Myself or anyone on our team, Amy, Dale, we would love to talk with you this week. We're going to be in the student union from 3 to 4, as well as in the cafeteria, in the chapel for lunch. And we'd love just to get to know you. I sincerely hope that this isn't our last time that our stories get to pass each other. So a couple thoughts here as we close. Just really encourage you to surrender any of these parts of our identity that we really need to examine, of these micro stories that you're focused on in your life that you still feel define your identity. I encourage you to don't let these details of your calling keep you from your calling and seeing God's better plan in your life. Just ask the Holy Spirit to speak truth to your calling today and your purpose and your identity in Jesus. I'm really, really grateful to be here. I am so excited to be on this journey with you, for those of you who want to be a part of the Alliance. And excited for these next couple of days. Would love to get to talk with you and hear your story too. Let's pray together. Holy Spirit, we just come to you today and with grateful hearts for all you're doing in our lives. I pray, Lord, that you reveal to us just the moments in our life that we have been holding on to, that we've kept as a part of our identity, that you want us to put at the foot of the cross today, that you want to speak to us, that you want us to lay down the things that you never meant for us to pick up. Lord, I pray that we just lean into you, that we understand that you want relationship and with us, that you want to be with us, that you want to be in every little plan, every little moment. That, Lord, just as you have done in my life and redeemed a story time and time again, Lord, you're doing that with every single person here in this room. We love you, Jesus, and we're grateful for your presence here on campus. In your name we pray. Amen. Amen. Thank you, friends.